Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the WDW Review podcast. If you're looking for custom, comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears, check out our designs or send us a message at magicalmaradesigns.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the WDW Review. I'm Stacey Nyman, and I'm joined tonight by my friends. We have Chris Malik. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Stacey. Thank you.
Oh, you made that awkward pause again. And then we have Pete Ponicorvo. How are you doing, Pete?
I'm doing better than Chris. I don't know why. Yeah. I just wanted to be doing better than somebody for once.
You have to one up everybody.
Pete, you're doing better.
I just want to be. Because every time Chris starts, he asks me, and then he asks you, and you're always doing fantastic or awesome, and I'm always just good. Well, so for once, I wanted to be better than somebody else.
You're doing good because there's a Portillo's coming your direction, right, brother?
There sure is.
Right? Best news of your day.
Yeah, there is.
Best news of your year.
Yeah, saves me an hour drive out to Sanford.
Well, Stacey, so you know we do this. What's good in your life? What's bad in your life? Let's talk briefly about what's bad in Walt Disney World's life recently, and then let's get with our show because we've got a lot to talk about.
Well, there's been some recent news. I'm sure that nobody's heard anything about the Skyliner incident that happened recently. So we're going to talk a little bit about that toward the end of the show and kind of give our opinions and, you know, talk a little bit more about that in detail. But to stick with the theme of that being a very treacherous vehicle at Walt Disney World, we are going to talk about some of the other more treacherous vehicles that you might find through your adventures through the parks. So it can mean many things. They can be just difficult to maneuver. They can be space issues. They can be just lots of different reasons why they're not ideal vehicles for your enjoyment.
You were so polite, Stacey. They could be vomit inducers. They could be nut busters. They could be kneecap taker outers. They could be headache inducers. Right. All of these things could happen. You could publicly embarrass yourself when you fall all over the place. So we figured we'd keep you safe. We're going to give you our comprehensive list of attractions that could hurt you in one way or another. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what I meant, yes.
Before the show, Peter?
That's what she said, Chris.
Yeah, but I brought it down a little bit too up to my level here. Kind of lower, so... Peter, name me your top three menu items in Portillo's.
Beef and cheddar croissant, big beef with cheese, and Chicago-style jumbo hot dog.
Okay, that's right.
With no relish.
Oh, interesting.
Because I don't do sweet relish. I don't like sweet pickles.
Dill relish, Pete?
Dill relish, I'm all good.
Okay. There is a Portillo's coming. It's not going to be in the Disney Springs area, but it's in the Disney area right next
Lake Buena Vista.
Yeah, right so. Near. A quick jaunt away from Walt Disney World property will bring you to a Portillo's, which everyone who listens knows I'm a big fan of Wawa. To me, it's something special. If you live in the East Coast of Florida, it's a gas station. I get it. But to Chicagoans, we're kind of used to Portillo's. It's nice. But
unless you're a Chicagoan that's moved away.
unless you're moved away, then it becomes like the Holy Grail.
Then it's a grail meal.
That's correct. So it is coming to Lake Buena Vista. But I thought we'd take that step aside here to fill our bellies before we go on these treacherous ride
vehicles. And honorable mention, I don't do it because I'm not a huge cake fan. But their chocolate cake is one of the exceptions that I will eat cake for. And they also have a chocolate cake milkshake that's really, really delicious.
Stacey, top three menu items at Portillo's?
All right, number one, this is so lame, the chicken sandwich, the breaded chicken sandwich. For some reason, it's just really good there. I also really like the cheese fries, and I like just a plain old hot dog.
What's on your hot
dog? Ketchup, mustard, tomato.
Okay.
Ketchup, mustard, tomato.
Okay.
Oh.
And pickle.
Ketchup,
and pickle
too. Wait. What was that first part?
Actually, Peter, you know what?
Oh, I know.
When I used to eat hot dogs, I used to enjoy ketchup in mine too. So she's got a friend. So
oh God.
Yep. All right. Let's get to
the rest of the Chicagoland listening area. I apologize on behalf of my co-host.
Who? My mom? Come on.
She's probably disappointed in you too.
All right.
Like, I thought I raised him better than that.
Let's get to our treacherous ride vehicles. Who wants to go first? Peter, you want to go first? Stacey, you want to go first? Let's explain.
Let you go first.
Peter, you go first and explain why we think it's treacherous.
Space Mountain is treacherous on multiple fronts. A, you're in the dark. You don't know when the turns are coming. You can actually injure your neck. Two, if you're my height, there's shin and knee issues galore on that ride. And if you're over the age of 8, there is kidney issues on that ride because you get jacked around for the entire thing and it hurts.
Do you feel like your neck's always straining on that ride? Like you're ducking down low because you're not sure where the beams and crossbars are above your head?
No, but I don't put my hands up on that ride.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's because of an urban legend that somebody had his hands up and whacked his hand on a crossbar and like broke his arm or whatever, but I just don't do it.
Okay. Stacey, you feel the same way about the Space Mountain ride vehicle?
I do, yeah. And the thing, the worst part for me is just getting in and out, because I usually am the one who's carrying the backpack. And just kind of maneuvering, actually sitting down and then getting the backpack stuffed in by my feet and then having to do the opposite when we get out, that it makes things a little bit tricky. And then you're also stepping down and you're stepping up. So it's just not really a smooth execution, at least not for me. Maybe other people are a little bit more graceful.
Okay. What do you have on your list, Ace?
I have the one that I particularly think of when I think of this is Jungle Cruise specifically, but really all of the boats kind of fit into this category, but Jungle Cruise is in its own little category because you're stepping down into the boat and then occasionally you have to make your way around. Usually I have Britta right in front of me, so having a child that I also have to make sure that she safely can step into the boat, down the steps, and find a spot while trying not to trip over people's feet, and you're not supposed to cross the middle section and do all that kind of stuff. It just feels a little bit clumsy, and I've seen people trip over people's feet on the Jungle Cruise as well. So
I feel like Britta would be able to get in and out of that easier than any of us.
It's always wet too. Always damp,
yeah,
right? From the rain.
For, it's like, yes. It. You always have this. I always have this fear, and it's probably an irrational fear that getting out, especially that she's going to lose her footing or something. And I know that she's not going to fall into the water, but just not to have her kind of trip out
herself.
Of the boat.
No, yeah,
I get that. It's like you're thinking of two people, and I think that also for maybe some elderly people, it's a little bit hard to maneuver that as well.
Okay. So when I was thinking about ideas here, there are some ones that people immediately think about as far as like physical injuries, but the ones I were like the little on a different level, like Star Tours. I always thought Star Tours was one that was treacherous. It's not because of the jerking around, you know, of the motion simulator, but Star Tours seems to pull it off rather well. Still can be herky-jerky, but if you ever get a motion simulator where the movement doesn't sync up to the screen perfectly, it's the most violent, vomit-inducing attraction you'll ever go on in your life. Star Tours is pretty good at that, but we used to have one at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago that I swear there was a second or two delay, so it just didn't work. It never worked. when you got off it, it was not pleasurable at all. You were like, this is awful. I don't know who invented this stupid thing. It was the one where they were searching for petroleum in the Earth's core. It was just terrible. Star Tours can pull it off. But barely. If you happen to like have motion sickness and you think the best thing to do is to put your head down or close your eyes, oh my gosh, it gets so much worse. So treacherous, not in the sense that you're going to physically hurt yourself, but treacherous in the sense that any kind of motion sickness, it'll be exacerbated on these motion simulators. So that was the first one that came to my mind. Peter.
What?
You're up.
Expedition Everest. I'm pretty much going to go through all the mountains. Okay. If there's a sign that says, don't ride this if you have back problems, don't ride this if you're pregnant, you know, don't ride this if you get motion sickness, it's kind of on my list.
Okay.
Especially that one. If you're not ready for the stops, because there are there's two stops in the middle of that ride for your direction changes. Am I remembering that correctly?
Well, the first is a pause and a hold, and the second, yeah, okay.
And then when you're in the cave, there's that second hold,
sure,
and to go forward again. So, you know, I mean, if you're not ready for that, that can be kind of tough on your neck, especially if you're a little older or
disorient younger too. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not necessarily as much like getting sick on that ride, but just the actual physical stopping and going.
I do think that's one of the smoother like attraction vehicles though, as far as a roller coaster goes. I think it's well done, but you're right, just the pausing and hesitations and reversals can make it difficult. So, okay. Stacy, what about you?
I have another one with Animal Kingdom, Cali River Rapids, with the raft ride. I mean, I know that I have a scar on my arm from our local Six Flags raft ride where we bounced and my arm hit the tread on the steps and it just scraped the heck out of it. I still have the scar on it. Cali seems like, now that that's happened, by the way, every raft ride I go on, I have flashbacks to that happening. Cali, I don't have that feeling. However, it's horrible when you bump something on those raft rides. Those seatbelts just kind of don't really always hold you in super well, and you're hitting the person next to you, or difficult to kind of brace yourself on there. There's not a whole lot to hold on to, especially when it's wet and you're getting splashed all over the place. The one good thing I do have to say about that is when you have a smaller child who does meet the height requirement, they get a special seat on the raft where they have a special seatbelt to kind of, it acts more as a harness for them. So that's really nice to not have to worry about that. Cause at Six Flags, when Britta's on that ride, she can, it feels like she's going to go flying, even though I know she's safely secured. And then also just getting off of that one as well, getting on and off, you know, you're stepping down kind of steep steps, it's wet and there's people all around. And so it kind of is a two for one there.
And not to mention, nothing's more treacherous than soaking underwear and soaking socks for the rest of the day.
Right? Real. All the chafing and everything. Yep.
Chafing.
The chafing is real, folks.
Treacherous. Treacherous. Okay. So I've got another interesting one here that you wouldn't think about initially, but even though no one's going on it, but even when it was going, Stitch's Great Escape or the Alien Encounter, I know it's not a ride vehicle, but like the theater and the harness. So I think about it in terms of like anxiety. You know, it's a tight fit and it's designed to be claustrophobic. So no, you physically aren't going to get injured on there. But in terms of like your mental outlook on the day and anxiety, that causes like tremendous anxiety when you're forced to be trapped in, and the intent is to have it spray or breathe on you as you're just sitting there. And I know you mentioned that it was rather uncomfortable, but I remember thinking if you were If you had claustrophobia or you had high anxiety and you were sitting here and you were forced to sit here, like, this would play like havoc on your mind while you're just sitting here, which of course is like the intent. So kudos, you know, when they invented Alien Encounter. But yeah, be careful with that one, especially if you're not used to being in small places.
Oh, well, if you want to talk about claustrophobia,
only in a small space, only in a small degree.
Mission Space.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I got that. I was just trying to glaze over it.
Go past it.
Yeah.
Come on, people. These are the jokes, people. They ain't going to get any better.
Oh, we know.
Yep.
We know.
Yep. Go ahead.
But Mission Space, I mean, come on. The thing comes up to you to make the space even smaller once you're strapped into the ride.
True. Are you orange or green, Pete?
I'm orange.
Stacy, orange or green?
The last time we went on, I think that we did orange. I don't really care for that attraction too much, though. But I do have a funny story when my it's actually not too funny, but my brother-in-law, his first time on Mission Space, he didn't realize that it would the vehicle would be that way, where it comes so close to you. And he's claustrophobic, and he the ride broke down while he was on it.
Oh,
and
no.
He happened to be in a car with, I think, two strangers. It might have been him and Griffin. It was him and somebody else in the family, and there are two people not in the family. Well, one of them was a little girl who started freaking out and crying, and so he's trying to calm her down while he's having a panic attack inside of the thing. And so after, like, realizing this is a fail, it's not going to work, he starts pounding on the door to get them to open it to let him out. I can't remember what I was doing, but he was a wreck. He was white as a ghost when he got off that ride. And so if you're claustrophobic, maybe skip that one.
And you have to stare at the screen the entire time. Looking down or away on that one too as well, being a simulator, it's like 10 times worse because of the constant spinning. You're not even aware of it spinning. But if you look down, oh my gosh, it's awful. It's awful. Stay focused on the screen. That's the best advice I can give you. Stacy, is it your turn right now? I think so, right?
I think so, yeah. So my next category, I guess it would be any of those Omnimovers, the attractions where it's constantly moving, a constant loading system. So these are things like Peter Pan and Spaceship Earth and the People Mover and just all of those types of Haunted Mansion types of attractions where it does get a little bit stressful, even if you have full mobility, to quickly get onto the vehicle in time, especially if maybe the people in front of you aren't moving quite as fast. And the Haunted Mansion is the one that comes to mind the most with this one because they're not usually holding people back to get on the attraction. You're just in the line constantly moving, whereas Peter Pan, they're kind of having you wait, and then they said, okay, now it's your turn. So I always feel like there's a scramble to get on those. And obviously, if there's a problem, they're going to stop the platform from moving and, you know, and fix all that happening. So nobody's in real danger, but it does feel a little bit stressful to quickly load the attraction.
Everything you say is completely 100% valid. But I just want you to know, in your first two rounds, you said every boat and every Omnimover. If you say every coaster in this next one, I'm throwing the pen down and being like, Stacy.
I was using a category.
You're doing an awesome job, Chief.
I kind of already said every category.
There is no contest.
Every coaster, I mean.
Well, then I'm taking this one. Every spinning ride, every ride that spins.
There you go.
Mad Tea Party.
Triceratops. Teacups.
I don't want to say.
Astro Orbiter.
They all stink. They're all
Dumbo.
They're terrible for you. Don't wait in line for. No. Actually, I like Dumbo. I like them. But the Mad Tea Party. For some reason, well, I know the reason. It's because I'm getting older and I can't take it no more. But the Mad Tea Party, there's no other attraction that, like I'll go on that attraction is like, there ain't no way I'm getting on that ride today. It's not because I'm afraid of that ride. It's just because I want to enjoy the rest of my day. I spent a lot of money and I don't want to be sick for an hour and a half. So I'm just joking about Triceratops spinning and Dumbo and whatnot and Aladdin. But the Mad Tea Party, oh. And it's not like it's going to hurt you, other than it will mentally distort your next hour and a half until you regain your equilibrium. So if you're not used to spinning rides, that is the king of spinning rides. Avoid it. I promise you, it's worth you avoiding if you don't like spinning. Big guy.
We'll continue my trek through the mountains, and I'm going to say Big Thunder. Not for what everybody's probably thinking, though. Whoever I sit next to generally ends up getting crushed from centrifugal force, because my big rear end will slide back left and right. And if you're on the wrong side of the centrifugal force, my big rear end is going to smush your rear end up against the wall.
So is that more of a warning or a warning to not go on that ride with Pete?
Yes.
Okay. That's an anti-Pete warning right there.
Well, actually, I've had other people tell me, like, yeah, I slide around on that a lot, too. So,
okay. So,
I mean, there's a safety bar, but it doesn't hold you into your side.
Okay.
Right.
And
especially if the person next to you is bigger, too, than the other person is not completely within the safety bar either. So, like, if you have a larger person and a child, the child's going to slide all over the place even more.
Okay.
And that poor kid's probably going to get crushed.
At some point, right? Yeah. At some point.
Especially if they're sitting next to me.
As we've learned. Okay. Stacey, you're up.
I'm going to go with just the buses. I mean, obviously, if you get a seat, that's great. You're pretty okay. But standing on those buses when it's crowded, we all kind of have taken, I'm sure that all three of us have taken Chicago CTA buses. Nope. Those suckers are some. You haven't ever taken one, Pete?
No.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. I took one every day to school and back. But you know, the city buses are way different than Disney buses. I mean, I feel like my life is in jeopardy a lot of times on city buses. Disney, you're kind of in a straight shot.
The bus Hang on. Have you seen the Disney buses right when they release, right when the park closes?
Oh, no. I've almost been sideswiped by a CTA bus in an ambulance. Yes. Like, they don't give a rat's.
Like, they don't mess around.
No, they don't care. They don't care what's next to them. And they're pulling out.
And CTA buses, Chicago Transit Authority, that's what CTA stands for, they are basically the same buses that Disney uses. I mean, I'm sure it's the same as all the big cities and things like that, with the poles that you have to hold on to and everything. But on the Disney buses, like, if it's crowded, sometimes there's nothing to hold on to. I'm taller, so I can always hold on at the bar going up at the top. But I've seen people who don't have anything to hold on to, and they kind of just have to, you know, at that point, it's very crowded on the bus, and they kind of, I think, just have to hope that they're going to be okay. But that can be obvious reasons, very treacherous, especially since that's not a ride. You know, it's not being controlled by somebody who it's, you know, it's on a track. This is, you know, real life. You know, accidents happen. So Disney buses can be treacherous.
Can I get on my soapbox for a second here, Stacey?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I would like all the guys.
Wait a minute. Did you find the sound effect for the soapbox yet?
I have not.
Okay. Just checking.
We'll have to come up with one.
Didn't mean to interrupt again.
No, but I'm hoping you agree with me on this. When you're on that bus early in the morning or late at night, and I wanted to just put this out there to the guys, but if you're an able-bodied woman as well, too, but here's to the guys. If you see a senior citizen or a kid that's clearly past their extent of what they can handle, or a woman, pregnant or otherwise,
give up your seat,
you lazy son of a gun. You know, let those people sit down. They're just as tired as you. But you know what? There's no reason that a 35-year-old, 30-year-old, 25-year-old, 40-year-old, whatever the case is, needs to sit down if there's someone who would be considered a senior or a pregnant woman or a kid. Give up your seat. So even my son will. Hit me. Go ahead.
I am going to jump in and say, too, that it's a really tricky situation, though, because, you know, we talked about, like, invisible illnesses and stuff like that. you never really know if somebody who's not getting up to give that seat, it's really hard. You never know if that person might have one of those invisible illnesses that they
agree.
Are just having a rough day.
Agreed,
or something like that.
Every right. man so, can't have one.
I don't say much in person.
Every man can't have one of those.
Silently judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm very judgy by my, like, in my head. Yes. But I will get up and give up my seat and then
absolutely.
Just think to myself,
Well, and, like, put your little two-year-old on your lap. You know, the two-year-old or the three-year-old doesn't really need their own seat. Like, that can be a lap sitter, too. Those are the types of things. Like, just be courteous to others.
Correct. I'm not afraid to back off my statement. I truly mean that. Not everybody could have that illness. You should be
exactly.
respectful of people that are on the bus, and you'll never see me sitting if I see someone standing that deserves to sit more than me. And my son knows that now as well, too, for sure. So be considerate of everyone on the bus. And if absolutely. You're capable and able-bodied, Then do it. Do it by example. So anyways, buses.
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got one. The ride vehicle from the dinosaur attraction, Stacey. Have you guys been on Dinosaur?
Yes.
Yep.
Do you like the attraction itself?
I do, yeah.
I think it's really cool. I think it's one of the coolest attractions at Animal Kingdom. But the ride vehicle is violent. What are your memories of that? I mean, do you retain control, or is it just kind of like hold on and just be finished when it's done?
You have to just brace yourself with that one,
right?
You know, you have to hold on to the bar, yeah.
So it's like the most intelligent ride vehicle that Disney had, at least as of a few years ago. That and the Indiana Jones in Disneyland is the same vehicle, and the actual body of the vehicle, the truck, I'll call it, it actually operates independently than the actual wheels that are connected to the track. So it jerks around, it motions, the bumps, the sudden stops, hard accelerations. And the intent is to simulate, like, you back trying to capture the, is that, what is the ride? Is it a Pteranodon? What is the ride, the dinosaur?
I think so.
Pteranodon, is that right, Stacey?
Sounds right, but
you're not trying to catch something.
It's not the
Carnotaurus,
and not get eaten by something
dinosaur.
Else.
The Carnotaurus,
yeah.
So you don't want to get eaten by him. I might have made a mistake, but anyways, the dinosaur ride vehicle. If you go into it thinking it's gonna be a cool, fun family attraction, it's gonna make your feelings hurt at the end of the ride vehicle. I promise, it jerks you around pretty good. Peter, you got anything else, buddy?
I mean, a lot of mine are based on, like, comfort and me being injured just because of my size.
Okay.
But I do have one that's treacherous for anyone that's going to try to ride this when I'm there. That's Frozen Ever After. I will make your life miserable.
You curmudgeon. You curmudgeon. All right. Next, Stacey. What do you got?
I don't think I have any more that are treacherous. Unless you want me to go through all of my categories and dissect them and tell you individual
things that go forward. Things that go forward are bad. I got two. Let me finish with my two. The Tomorrowland Speedway with the smell of the gas. The exhaust. If it's a hot day and you've got that hour wait, that can be treacherous if you're waiting there. Though,
well, yeah, you'll pass out. You'll be asphyxiated and pass out in the middle of the line.
Though it shouldn't come to anyone's surprise who's listening that I actually don't mind that smell. I actually, the smell of exhaust, whatever. Keep on going. And what about the king of all of them? So everyone's up in arms about the Skyliner. What, have you not heard the monorail can break down or break apart?
Catch fire or doors can fall off?
Suddenly, the monorail might be the king of treacherous ride vehicles. Or, Stacey, along the same lines as your bus, have you ever got on the ferry boat at the closing time from Magic Kingdom?
You mean the cattle call?
Oh my gosh. How many people can we put on this monster? So, yeah, that could be just as treacherous as the ferry boat. So be careful. Hold hands with your loved ones or your little ones. Find a good spot. Everyone's tired. Remember, again, be considerate. Obviously, that one's mostly people standing. But be considerate when you're on that, because they throw a lot of bodies, and everyone just wants to get home from that point forward. So I think we talked about all the ones we would consider treacherous. Did we miss anything, guys? Let's go through the parks in our mind here. Did we miss anything? Spaceship Earth? No. Living with the Land? No. What about pirates where they cut their finger off by accident? Is that treacherous?
That would be treacherous, yeah.
I guess under that definition, treacherous.
Right? I mean, do we want to mention, like, Tower?
Okay, why?
I mean, if you're not really ready for it, I suppose you might like wrench your neck or something like that, but
okay. I'd hope you'd prepare for what's
how about the launching coaster over at Aerosmith?
Gotcha.
If you don't have your head back against the headrest when that thing goes off,
oh yeah, that is true.
That mm-hmm. can be painful because you will have a headache after that.
How about Small World? Is that treacherous? Is the repetitive song treacherous?
Only if you're going to continue to try to sing it around people for the rest of the day.
All right.
Then it might be dangerous.
So if you wanted to listen to our thoughts on the Skyliner, we're going to go forward here. But if you just want to listen to our treacherous rides, then you're good. Class is dismissed. Go and have a good day. Chapter 2 is due tomorrow. You're released. What do you guys know about the Skyliner, Stacey, Peter? What can you tell me? What do you notice casually?
It hasn't changed anything for me. Okay. I mean,
Let's talk about the incident. Let's talk about the incident first. What happened there?
Apparently, one of the gondolas didn't catch properly when it was going to be leaving the station. And it kind of stacked up. A couple of them then bumped into it. Mm-hmm. And they had to shut everything down. And people were stuck up there for somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 hours plus.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So it wasn't like one fell. When you hear about, look on social media, oh, this terrible accident. So that really didn't quite happen, kind of did. I think people were looking for a reason to be outraged, but you're right. They stacked up at the, was it the Caribbean Beach Station or was it the Riviera Station, right?
I think it was the Riviera Station.
The Riviera Station. So if you look at the pictures, you can check out Disney Food Blog or WW News Today or whatever the case may be. You'll see there's a few gondolas stacked up, some yellows, some reds, some blues. They kind of look like Christmas ornaments that you put too many on one branch and all of a sudden they start to push each other a little bit. So you're right, though. Guests were told to use their emergency kits under the seats, and that contains like water and cool packs. And then, you know, in today's day, everyone's got their phone, everyone's got social media, so people are outraged. So that's really what happened. Disney.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. Put me on the gondola. Stick me up there for 3 hours, and then give me what those people got, because nobody got hurt.
That's
give me what they got. I'll go spend 3 hours up there, no problem.
So that's what happened. So officially, no one got hurt from this incident directly. But later on in USA Today, there were people taken to the hospital afterwards. So
because you know somebody's suing over this.
Well, I don't want to go and get into that. Other than there were three people taken to the hospital afterwards. So up to that point, USA Today reached out to Disney for the details. So Disney kind of hesitated on putting a statement out. They undersold it for a while. They said that there was like an incident or there was a delay. That was like their initial word. I know that's not the correct word. But the official statement came out afterwards.
Malfunction.
A malfunction, correct. So I'm going to quote here. So we have a team diligently looking into the cause of the malfunction on the Epcot line of the Disney Skyliner. We have been in contact with the guests, many of whom were on the Skyliner for more than 3 hours until we were able to restart the system. We express our sincere apologies for the inconvenience and continue to work with each guest individually. So, what do you think about that? I mean, is that understating the response? What do you guys feel about the response from Disney? Peter, Stacey?
I think that working with them individually is a good thing, I think. You know, it's not just like a blanket. You all get some fast passes for the rest of your, you know, day or whatever. It shows that they're taking it seriously, I guess.
Well, they got a lot more than that.
Individually working with the guests. Yeah, I know.
So on that day, Peter and Stacey, I created just a poll, an informal poll on the Dubs page. So the question was, will the recent Disney Skyliner accident affect your decision to ride the gondolas? So there was two choices, and perhaps it was my choice of wording that was incorrect, but I said, I'm still riding, and nope, not a chance, or not a chance, meaning you're not going to ride.
Yeah.
So 88 people voted. Of the 88 people voted quickly on that day, 78% said, I'm still riding. So yeah. I think the overall belief is that it was a mistake, it was an incident, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen if you're on the bus, if you're on the monorail, if you're on the boat's going to hit the pier a little too hard. It's going to happen. No one was injured. If you're looking for a reason to be outraged, or you had a pre-existing condition where you're nervous about heights, or you're nervous about being in a claustrophobic area, this validated your concerns. But if you're looking to, like, poke a hole at something, everybody stood up and was like, this is it. But it's going to happen. I'm going to trust that Disney's going to fix this problem, and it won't occur with regularity, if at all, ever again. At least that's how I feel about it. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, these things are in place all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe system. There was an accident. There's car accidents every day. You're not going to drive your car anymore?
Yeah, and we shouldn't say we're not trying to make light. If you haven't, like Monica Pinto has been outspoken about not wanting to go on the Skyliner, and I thought, like, the reactions that people had were a little too sharp. And then Monica explained something to me, which actually made me think, and I agree with her because she's a sweetheart. I agree with her and her daughter Sabrina, her daughter Sabrina. She said, I see people having to be ziplined off of the gondolas because it's not being moved. And she goes, how do you do that with a senior citizen or someone in a wheelchair or maybe a child with special needs? And you know what? Yeah, you're right. That's a bad problem. I get that. But I don't know if that would override, like, my desire to go on there. Like, and I'm not saying she is, but, like, I don't look at the reasons why it's not going to work. I'm just going to do it, and then we'll deal with it. You know, we'll figure out the next part if something goes wrong. But Monica makes a great point. She had to think about it on a different level than I did. So I appreciate that. And I also appreciate the intelligent conversation, because nowadays on Twitter and Facebook, I could get into a fight with somebody over Crayola colors, you know? So I appreciate the intelligent dialogue back and forth, too. So we're not making light of anybody's problems, but don't live in fear. Go on the gondolas. They'll be safe. I hog the airwaves. What do you guys think? Please tell me.
Well, I just think that we know that this is a big deal. This is something, it wasn't just like a little incident that happened. People were inconvenienced. This was a really big thing. However, like we've been saying, nobody was hurt. So I'm kind of grateful that these things happen, just because it gives Disney a chance to practice fixing the problems. And it, you know, now they know maybe what they need to add to those emergency kits or what they need to do better next time. So, you know, thankfully nobody was hurt. They didn't need to, it wasn't a true life or death emergency at that moment. You know, in the end, everything was okay, and now they can kind of learn from these mistakes.
Good. Yeah, good point. Kind of like when they put, like, a test, Peter, like at O'Hare, you know, when they're like, okay, we're going to do a drill, an evacuation drill, but real life, we're going to have a bunch of actors come in, and they're going to, you know, have illnesses and injuries and stuff. So that's a good point. I didn't consider that option, so. Okay. So that's our thoughts. If we've missed an attraction that you think is treacherous, or if we've overstated one, please let us know on the WDW Review Facebook page, on our Twitter page, on our Instagram account, or in our Facebook group, which is EDCOT, EDCOT. Request to join. We'll certainly have you enter. Anything else, guys, before we go for today?
No.
All right. For my buddy Peter and for my buddy Stacy, we'd like to thank you. We want to wish you a great day.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.